The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell!
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right, it's Money Life Market Call time, and we're joined today by somebody who I know you guys like because, well, we have a great relationship with the audience, and you guys are pretty good about telling me who you like, who you want to have back on the show, all that sort of stuff, and Rich Maroney is definitely one of those folks you enjoy having here. Now, Rich is the editor of two terrific newsletters, and I use the word terrific, you know, you might think, oh, Chuck's just being nice, etc. No. Let me point out, I get a ton of newsletters. I read a ton of copy. Upside and Dow Theory Forecasts, which are Rich's two newsletters, are two that I actually read. And one of the reasons for that, and I will say that, it's not an endorsement, because I'm not going to say, oh, this is how I invest or what have you necessarily. But one of the reasons that I really like them is that there are some newsletters where everything is about here's our pick and maybe here's the technicals or here's the charts or here's whatever. And you don't necessarily get a bigger sense, or there's not necessarily something that looks at the broader market that gives you a sense of how the strategy fits in everywhere else. And Upside and Dow Theory Forecasts really take a look at both the big picture and what they're doing in terms of what their recommendations are, et cetera. And that's why I like them. And by the way, their sister publication, The Drip Investor, run by Chuck Carlson, another of your favorites. Now, if you want to learn more about the newsletters, well, it's DowTheory.com or UpsideStocks.com. But enough of that. Rich Maroney, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. My audience, those who are familiar, well, they know if I'm talking to you, we're talking the Quadric system. But for those who don't remember how it works, or for those who are new to the audience, we never get into buy, sells, or hold without talking how it works. Quadric is a very particular system. Explain how it works.
Okay. Yeah, Quadric underpins our research effort. And basically what we're doing is, you know, we've modeled what we think is the perfect stock. In our mind, that's a company with strong operating momentum, a cheap valuation, a good track record of growth and high returns on investments. We want rising earnings estimates, and we want a stock that is outperforming. And what we've done is, you know, using a variety of factors, we've modeled all those things in six different categories. So that's momentum, where we're looking at the recent trend in sales, earnings, cash flow, valuation, where we're looking at things like price earnings, price cash flow, price free cash flow, as well as those ratios relative to historical norms. So we might look at the PE versus what's been the PE over the last 20 months on average. Quality, we're looking at returns on investment, 5-3 year growth records, financial strength, which is debt positions, interest coverage, earnings estimates, where we're looking at the trends in analyst estimates. So how much has the consensus gone up over the last 30 days? What's the number of up estimate increases versus down estimate decreases over the last 30 days? Those types of measures. And then performance, where we're looking at stock returns over periods up to 1 year. Based on those six factors, a company gets a weighted average of those six different categories. A stock gets an overall score of 0 to 100, with 100 being the best. Typically what we're doing is looking for new buys that have scores of 90 and above. If the scores get below 80 or 70, that's a cue that we need to, you know, reappraise the stock and reconsider whether we should still be in it.
So you put it all together. Now, are there times like now where, you know, we've got a market at record highs? So does that mean that there are somehow fewer buys because everybody scores down on the valuation side, or is Quadric always kind of producing, here's a buy list for us?
It always is producing, top rank stocks. So everything is always relative to other stocks. All the when we look at PE, it's the only thing that really gets scored. You know, we're starting off with that absolute PE of 15, but that gets translated to a percentile rank that says this PE is cheaper than 60% of stocks. Therefore, the stock is going to get a 60 for PE. So there's always going to be, 10% of stocks that get a score above 90 on the overall score.
And do you tend to find that, like, industries and sectors move in lockstep? So that, in other words, let's take a sector that's been in the news, oil and energy. And do we find that, hey, when you have that big flux in oil prices, you see the entire sector kind of go to where they're buyable or where they're not buyable as a mass?
Yeah, there's exceptions, but certainly for a sector like energy, where so much of it is driven by that single variable of the price of oil, you see it in a predictable way. I mean, right now, the value scores look pretty good for some of these companies, because you're just by the nature of valuations, you're looking back over the last 12 months still for some of these measures. But all the earnings estimates trends are pretty negative for these companies. The performance is looking pretty bad because the stocks have really fallen apart over the last year. So, and the momentum scores are now starting to turn too. So you can kind of look forward and see, maybe these things are getting a decent value and squeaking through with a 80 right now, because it's been one of the better companies with a good track record. But you kind of look forward, see how the other companies in the sector are, how their scores are going. And, with a little bit of insight into history and just common sense, you can say, well, yeah, it might be a while before the energy stocks start to score well again. And you also see, within industry groups right now, managed care is a group that's scoring very well. They tend to have results that are pretty similar, and they tend to be, in favor or out of favor together. And a lot of what Quadrix is doing is saying, these are the right groups to be in. We have to go then pick the one that we think is special. But yeah, a lot of what Quadrix does is get you in the right groups and sectors.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What groups and sectors stand out right now? What can't you buy?
Well, energy is one that, you're not finding very many stocks at all. Financials is scoring well. There's improving operating momentum for some of these smaller insurers and banks, and the stocks are still relatively cheap. Niche industrials are scoring well. Companies that are more exposed to the domestic cyclical industries, from everything from making rail cars to making truck trailers to airlines. Right now, Quadrix is favoring a lot of late cycle stocks, I would say.
Okay.
Transports are scoring quite well. So if you look at Quadrix, it's rewarding companies for this operating momentum. Wall Street is kind of saying, we're not sure this cycle is going to continue. We don't know if these industrials are going to hold up, given the pressures of a soft global economy, given the fact that the energy sector was so much a driving portion of the U.S. industrial renaissance. So Quadrix is saying you can still buy those, and Wall Street's a little bit dubious. So we have exposure to Wabash National, which is a maker of truck trailers. We like a rail car maker called Greenbrier. The airlines, we still like JetBlue. We like Alaska Airlines. So we still have some cyclical exposure for sure.
You mentioned financials, but you didn't talk about any financial stocks. What stands out in that sector for you?
We have some niche banks that we are liking on upside. Heartland Financial, symbol HTLF. They went through some asset quality issues over the last 5 years, but are coming out of that now with very much improved asset quality and good loan growth. Stock is quite cheap, gets a 96 overall in Quadrix with an 81 score in value, so it's cheaper than about all but 20% of U.S. stocks. We also have scores that look at the things that are most important in the sector, what we call our sector scores. So we're rewarding companies for, in this case, what works in financials, and it scores very well on both those measures. Another one we like Wells Fargo as kind of a long-term buy and hold. If you're looking for a big domestic bank.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to go wrong with Wells Fargo if you're a long-term investor.
Well, let's cut that off there, and we'll move right now to whether or not you like or dislike some things that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Rich Maroney. He is the editor of Upside and Dow Theory Forecasts. Two great newsletters. If you want information, upsidestocks.com or dowtheory.com. Hold it or fold it. You know how it works. We need your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in. Send them to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. We'll add them to the list, and hopefully they'll make it into an interview soon. And we just got a big list. I've been saying we sometimes get really long lists from some of our regular listeners. Josh from Petaluma, California sent us a big list. We're going to do four requests from Josh today. Now, the first you've actually heard a little bit about because it's Wells Fargo. And I guess, Rich, that one we start out with a softball because it's a buy judging on what you just said, right? If somebody wants big financials, that's the one that you'd gravitate towards, correct?
Yeah, among the big financials, I like Wells Fargo quite a bit. It's not my favorite stock for year-ahead returns. I wouldn't single it out as like
well, what
the
would
best
be
financial
my
stock. But yeah, it's a buy on Dow Theory Forecast. And I like it, especially as a long-term buy. It's not the cheapest stock right now, but it's very well run.
What would be your favorite if there was one right now?
In financials or in banks?
Well, in banks, since you said it's not my favorite bank, so...
Yeah, I guess I would be looking more on the small side. Heartland Financial.
Okay, so we've already got the pick then because it was Heartland Financial. That's fine. But if you're looking for a bigger bank, that's Wells Fargo and Company, WFC. That was a buy.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Now let's stay with Josh in Petaluma, California. One of his other picks, a related financial services company, Travelers Companies, ticker symbol TRV.
I like Travelers. I would be a buyer of the stock. Stock is quite cheap, both relative to peers. It's even pretty good relative to its history, which is a rare breed nowadays. It is a huge property and casualty insurance company, subject to all the accounting vagaries and cycles that go with that. But the stock is still really quite cheap, given the results they've put up over the last 12, 18 months. I think there's further to go with the underwriting cycle there, so I would be a buyer.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
That's a buy on Travelers Companies, TRV. Like I said, we've got four requests today from Josh in Petaluma. And just as we could anticipate where you were going with Wells Fargo, I think we may be able to anticipate where we're going next. Even though you didn't mention this company by name, you were talking about how hard it is to buy energy stocks. Well, Josh's next request, ExxonMobil Corporation. That's XOM.
Yeah, I would be a seller. Exxon is a great company, well-managed company. I think it's getting a lot of money from people who kind of need to be in energy or want to be in energy, and it's, you know, one of the safer plays to be in there. But the fundamentals have really fallen apart, and it's hard to see where they're really going to get their growth back without just a jump in the price of oil. And I guess what I really don't like about it is it's not all that cheap given all the bad news surrounding the sector. You know, right now Exxon trades at 23 times the consensus 2015 estimate of $3.74, so that's pretty high. Even if you expect it to meet the 2016 estimate of 531, it's at 16 times. So, you know, unless you're expecting a big jump back, it's hard to make the case that the stock is cheap. Its 10-year norm for trailing PE is 12. So it seems to me there's still some downside there. Even if you accept that profits are going to come back pretty quickly in 2016, which I don't see as a given at all. So I would sell it.
Just let it go, dude. Count your losses and move on.
That's a sell on ExxonMobil Corporation, XOM. Josh's last request, at least for today, is CVS Health Corporation. Its ticker symbol, CVS.
We have CVS as a buy. I like the company quite a bit. We've had it for some time. I think they're very well positioned, not only with their retail drugstores, but their prescription benefit management services. They seem to be one of the few companies kind of putting it all together that is really well-positioned for an environment of driving costs down in healthcare. I think CVS is uniquely positioned to benefit from those trends. It is not cheap. We've had the stock as a buy for some time, and it's had a pretty good run. It gets a middling value score of 45, and that's holding down its overall score. But I guess I would say buy it. I think it's in maybe the sixth or seventh inning, to put it in baseball terms. You're not certainly not getting in at the low, but I think it's got further to go, so I would still be a buyer.
Could we please buy now?
That's a buy on CVS Health Corporation, ticker symbol CVS. Last, Jordan in Stuartsville, New Jersey wants to know about Kellogg Company. It's ticker symbol K.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Kellogg. Not a fan of too many consumer staple stocks. I do like CVS and I do like Kroger and grocery stores, but Kellogg to me is kind of, you know, dependent on overseas markets for a lot of its potential growth. It's not very cheap. It sells at 17 times this year's consensus, which does not seem like a layup at all. 16 times the 2016 number. Its value score on a scale of 0 to 100 is 36. So even though you're getting hardly any growth, it's expensive because people see it as non-volatile or defensive, and people want to have exposure to safer stocks, but I think you could do better. I would sell it and move into something else.
So that was a sell on Kellogg, ticker symbol K. And because it's a sell, I don't feel bad that I don't have Tony the Tiger saying they're great in my sounder bank. And instead...
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
Yeah, and it's not exactly the defensive stock you're looking for. That was a sell on ticker symbol K. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time with Rich Maroney. But Rich, it's always great to chat with you. I hope you will come back and do this with us in a couple of months.
Sure. Anytime, Chuck.
Rich Maroney is editor of both Upside and Dow Theory Forecasts. If you want more information, upsidestocks.com, dowtheory.com. All right, we have almost come to the end of the road on the March 10th edition of Money Life, but there were some stocks Rich talked about that other guests have talked about. I'll fill you in on who's saying what, where there's agreement and not, when Money Life wraps up for today, right after this message.